is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, man!
Here's Carmichael Dave.
All right, I need to call you out publicly.
Me?
You!
I didn't do anything.
Carmichael Dave in line at Disneyland right now. Jay Mars, Matt George filling in. Where's our intro?
Well, excuse me, Mr. Assistant PD.
Uh-huh.
That's your job now.
No, it is not.
And I never did them before. It was always voice guy. I never did them. It was always the voice guy.
But voice guy sent them to you, and you were the one who programmed them.
Yeah, well, voice guy's been slacking. I think we need a new voice guy.
Wow.
Just saying.
Dude, you're calling everybody out today.
Shots fired. It's a one day only, you know? When Jay and Matt in the morning is one day only, you gotta be stirring up some chaos,
unfiltered,
right?
Unfiltered Matt George, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the KCK studios.
I'm just trying to match the NBA. Just be as chaotic as the NBA has been this week, and I'm coming up very short.
That's a whole lot of chaos, and you're gonna have to work a lot harder to
get that.
Very
short.
1-800-920-1140. Those are the phone numbers you're gonna use. You're gonna wanna keep that number handy because we're going to get to Jason and Doug's interview with San Francisco Giant Sammy Long from yesterday. However, at the conclusion of said interview, we got more KISS tickets for you. The old men playing the Toyota Amphitheater come September. We're going to get those tickets for you right after that interview. Also, do not forget, we've had a couple streams today. The first stream crashed. But if you want to hang out with us, Sports 1140 KHDK on YouTube.
It's the best part of the show, really.
It really is. I have always said.
No, I said when the YouTube crashed, it was the best part of the show.
See, Matt doesn't like some of the chatters.
I don't like all the chatters. All of you. All of you. You hear me? All of you.
All of you, remember, I love you all. So it's kind of, I told them during the interview you would be doing an AMA in the chat. So
no, that's reserved for Carmichael Dave on vacation.
If you have questions for Matt George about his life,
send them in. I won't answer them.
Sports 1140 KCK on YouTube. Get in the stream, get in the chat, hang out with us now. All right. Without further ado, this guy has a super cool story, man. From Del Campo High School, he's drafted by the Rays. Del Campo High School to Sac State, was drafted by the Rays, had stopped playing baseball, decided he was going to go at it again, caught on in the Giants organization, gets up to the Rivercats, and shout out to Pat Steele from the Pat, Tom, and Cody show on our sister station, KNCI. It really put me up on Sammy Long at first. He's like, watch this kid in his AAA debut with the Rivercats. I think he fanned 8 straight, which tied a AAA record. Pretty amazing story. Gets called up to the San Francisco Giants right after that. A lot of awesome details he shared with Jason and Doug about being called up and that experience.
Didn't he have like 5 strikeouts in the first 3 innings of his major league debut?
It was something like that. Sammy has been pitching great since going up to the San Francisco Giants, and we were fortunate enough, and thank you to the Giants for helping us out with that, to get Sammy on yesterday with Jason and Doug. And here is their interview with San Francisco Giants pitcher, Del Campo legend, Sacramento State legend, Sammy Long.
All right, let's bring him on here. It's a great story, local story here. Sam Long, Sammy Long, Samuel Long.
What do we go with, Sam?
Anything you want.
But honestly, I remember you at Sac State. You were literally Sam Long. And then when I was so excited to hear you coming up, I said, he's Sammy? I don't know. Has that been a personal change, or just is it literally anything?
I don't know. I kind of just went with it. I mean, I think it sounds good with I think it's a good baseball name, you know, so I just rolled with it. My birth name is Samuel, so.
Okay.
See, mama named him Samuel. I'm going with Samuel.
Well, describe this ride, because everybody's got a story on trying to get to the highest level, and you've made it this year, but you have a unique one, Sam, in the fact that, you know, you weren't with an organization for a couple of years here. You hadn't pitched above single A, and then your ride this year. How surreal has this been?
Yeah, it's been a busy year. I think, I mean, the work that I put in last year with missing the whole season put me in a good position to show up and make a name for myself with the Giants right off the bat. So I gotta give credit to that work and the people that helped me get that done and prepare me for the season. But it's been pretty surreal. That's the right word to use, I think, because I don't think this situation is very common.
Sam, you mentioned the work you put in and the people that helped you. Was that more mental, physical, getting your body right, arm? What exactly was it for you? Because it can be different for athletes as you go through, especially trying to get to the big leagues.
Yeah, I think just the older I got, the more I was able to check off each box in all those categories. So the mental side was, my attitude's gotten better and better. You know the grind of coming through the minor leagues, and there's a lot of stuff you got to deal with. And I think just my attitude of controlling what I need to control and focus on doing my job the best I can, and that was big time for me. And then I put on a lot of strength over these last couple years too, just working hard and not taking any days off, and having a focus of what way I need to get better that day these last couple of years, and always having a plan that next day.
How did that push keep going though, when there were setbacks, if it was injuries? I know you had some back things and maybe not getting the calls up as far as you would like to go. What voice was telling you, and was there someone that you just go, I'm doing this for me, but I got it for other people? How did you keep pushing to ultimately get to this goal?
Good question. I think a combination of there's a lot of thoughts that go through your head when you're making the climb, and just trying to keep them all positive and remember who's helped me, and the reason I'm doing it is, not only for myself, but the people that believe in me and have believed in me from the start. And, I've always had my competitive nature from my dad, and he was the one pushing me to get through workouts at a young age. And, I think that kind of that carried on as I got older. I took ownership of that, and didn't always need him in my ear to keep working. Those younger days were huge for me growing up. Sam, so I just stuck with it.
Yeah, Sam, when you get the news that you're going to be handed the ball at the major league level, what were the emotions that went through, and what was the vibe when you stepped up on the bump?
I think there were more emotions leading up to the outing.
Okay.
So I got the call, and I had a few days to get situated with the team. I made the flight out to Texas with the team. And so that was the first time I've ever, been on a plane with my teammates like that, like on my way to the game. You start flying on planes in AAA, but we made the trip to Reno and took a bus. So that kind of puts things in perspective when that's the first time you've been on a plane with a team. But I think once I got on the mound, it felt like business as usual. Okay. To be honest, I thought it was definitely more nerve wracking. Like the night before, trying to fall asleep, it was a little tough, and the appetite wasn't quite there the next day. But I kept snacking and getting as much food as I could, and just dealt with it. You got to deal with that type of stuff. It's pretty natural to have these feelings on your first outing, and I kind of expected it, but once it came, I dealt with it, and I felt like I was ready to pitch and go out and do my thing.
Well, doing your thing is one thing. I mean, you went out there and pitched great. You didn't get the start. There was an opener, then you came in. And also, Sam, the other part that I felt was unique in your debut is we're all coming out of this pandemic, and certain places are more advanced than others. You're in Texas. That place was New Park, seemed like it was a lot of people. Just the energy, I know it wasn't the home crowd. You had a lot of fans supporting you there, but just being pitching in front of that many people, how was that thrill?
That atmosphere was awesome. There was a lot of guys that debuted last year that didn't get to pitch in front of fans, you know, so I felt for those guys, and I was super grateful to, you know, just happen to be called up right before the road trip to a place with full capacity. I was super excited to get out there, and, you know, that was big. That was awesome to experience.
Sam, not sure, was it Posey catching for you? I'm just asking because the relationship between the pitcher and the catcher, do you have somebody now? How does that kind of go once you get to the major league, finding that person for you that really calls the game the way you like it?
You know, before each outing, we go through a scouting report on the other lineup, usually the day before or the day of, and we'll run through each batter and see what kind of approach or how we're thinking to pitch these guys. But the first outing I threw to Chadwick Tromp, and I got a chance to throw to him in spring training. So,
oh, cool.
We were familiar with each other. Yeah, that was nice. And then this last outing against the Diamondbacks, I got to throw to Buster, and you know, that was a blast too. So,
wow.
Yeah, but the preparation side of it is all the catchers and the pitching coach get together and go through it. So it's kind of a collective effort.
Talking with Giants pitcher Sam Long, local products. So you go to Del Campo, you go to Sac State. Let's backtrack to then. Or at that time, are you a Giants fan, an A's fan? What's your baseball team growing up?
Growing up, I was a Giants fan. I was always rooting. Yeah, so that's made this even cooler.
I grew up
watching Barry Bonds and all that good stuff.
I was going to say that moment for you, you saw those Giants teams that won the World Series earlier, and now you're like, wait, I got Crawford behind me, belts over here, I'm throwing to Buster, and I'm riding on planes. Like, come on, that's got to be super cool.
Yeah, yeah. Sharing the field with them is one thing, but, you know, living and the small things that go along with being teammates – has been the coolest part, you know, seeing how these guys are off the field and learning about their personalities. That's been really cool.
For you, even in high school, obviously college, was the major league always what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I think it was at a young age, it was always a dream. And my dad was actually a basketball guy and with his sports career. And, I was born left-handed. So he kind of was okay with shifting that, you know, he probably as soon as I was born, I'm sure he wanted me to play basketball, but, once he found out I was left-handed, he made a little adjustment and picked up a baseball glove. So,
oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, I think a dream. It's always been a dream, and the closer I've gotten, the realer it got. And I don't know. That's just something I feel really lucky about.
I know this is the highest level for you, Sam, and that's the ultimate goal. But even I think back to your AAA debut, which wasn't that long ago with the Rivercats. So I'm sure you've been to games at Rayleigh Field. Now you're pitching in Sacramento again, and I think you had something like 8 straight Ks to begin the game. What was that outing like to be in this city again, so close to the majors, pitching in the AAA for the Giants and having a night like that?
I was definitely happy to be home and pitching in front of, I'm sure there were probably about 150, 200 people there that came to watch me that night. And just to be able to get one outing out there in front of the home crowd was a blast. And I think I grew up more of a Rivercats fan than anything, to be honest. That was the big leagues to me. That was probably the first, real baseball experience I had until I got a little older and understood the game a little more. We started going to the big league parks, A's and Giants, but the Rivercats were always fun to go out to and, you know, try to chase down. There was one game growing up I got lawn seats and I tracked down 3 home run balls in one game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is there anybody or when you get on the mound and you're facing a batter, does the face of the batter go away and you're just trying to hit your spot, or is there anybody you're like, I really can't wait. I've been watching them for a long time and I can't wait to pitch to them.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it. I don't take any hitter in the big leagues lightly. You know, I'm always trying to make my best pitch, but there's a lot of good hitters in the big leagues, and there's some bigger names than others. And usually, you might have a little adrenaline spike when a bigger name comes up, but the approach doesn't really change. You know, you can only control what you can control, and you know, make as good of a pitch as you can. And once the ball's out of your hand, it's out of your control. And hope it was the right decision.
You think fondly of your days at Sac State with Reggie Christensen there and playing for the Hornets?
Oh yeah, that was fun. He was at my debut.
Awesome!
Wow.
He brought his son out to Texas with him and was able to be there. So I had him and a high school coach too, Paul Martinez. My old hitting coach, Richie Kim, growing up. But yeah, I had a lot of fun playing for Reggie. There were some good times. He gave me a lot of cool opportunities. He allowed me to graduate early from high school and pitch for them as soon as I got there. And even gave me the ball for Sac State's first Division I regional appearance. So those opportunities were great, and I'm thankful for him for that and allowing me to improve through those college years, definitely.
You know, Sam, having all those people at the first outing had to be incredibly special. Did you have time to sit and chat with them? I can remember my wife brought down my high school coach, my assistant coach, my college coach for one of the Kings games. And afterwards, we went and sat down and ate. It was surreal because there's conversations that you have with each one of them along the way, and you're nowhere near the spot that you're at that particular time. And now you've made it, and those conversations come up. Did you get a chance to chop it up with them at all?
Yeah, mainly through text. But there was a few, so they weren't allowed to come out on the field after my debut, but they were able to come down into the tunnel. And,
oh, cool.
So I saw everybody, and yeah, that was a special moment. And
wow.
There were probably, there was 30 of them down all waiting for me. And just to see the look on each of their faces was special. That's a feeling that's tough to describe, just, you know, seeing all those people that helped me out through the years, and you know, them experiencing all that during the game with me, that was special. But I coming up through the minors, or I think once I signed into pro ball, those texts came up and were people reaching out to me, saying, you know, when you get called up, let me know. I'll be on a flight, and a lot of those people made it out there. So, yeah, just like we planned it.
Yeah, Sam. You know, the other day, Doug and I talked to Oakland A's pitcher Chris Bassett, and we were talking to him about hitting, and he didn't have a professional hit yet. Doesn't get as many chances to bat because of American League. But he also said, you know what, I don't really want to hit anymore. He's doesn't want to get injured, and pitching is the number one priority. I know you had a plate appearance the other day. What happens when you get that first hit? How cool would that feel?
Oh, I love hitting. Yeah, I'm on the other side of that.
You want to hit?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love hitting. That's something that's the part of the game that I grew up loving just as much as pitching. You know, I felt like I had a better chance to make it as a pitcher, but yeah, I played center field and hit, and always had fun on that side of the ball. But
got a splash hit coming up.
I think once that first hit comes, that's gonna feel pretty cool. I think I got a swinging bunt in my first at bat the other day, and I could hear my family going nuts, and I was like, oh, come on, a swinging bunt, and you're going nuts for that.
So
they didn't care. They were happy I put it in play.
Do you take batting practice in the whole deal?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot. I think a lot more bunting practice than anything. Just being ready for that situation as a pitcher, you're going to want to be, you're going to be called upon to bunt more often than not. As if someone's on base, you need to be able to get that job done and get them over. But if the situation comes where I need to hit, I'll be ready for that too.
So I don't know if you played video games growing up. I'm guessing you did. Did you create like a superpower Sammy Long that could pitch and hit and do everything?
Oh, yeah.
No hesitation.
99 overall.
Nice. Highest rating, that's for sure. That is awesome. Well, we're so excited. We've been rooting for you. It's a cool story. We hope there's many more games and years to come. It's an awesome story, and you got a lot of people in Sacramento rooting for you. So, Sam, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate you, Sam.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Right, hey, then. Doug, I grew up rooting for you, too.
I appreciate you, man.
We
big
buried
love.
The lead.
Yes, yes.
Did we have you out at Arco, Sam?
That was awesome. What's up?
Yeah, you were out at Arco and all that?
Absolutely. Cowbells and everything.
Oh, you are the man. All love, man, to you and the family, your pops. I appreciate you guys, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
You got
it. Thank you. Yeah. Sam Long, Samuel Long, Sammy Long.
Yes.
Just awesome.
That's good stuff. And he was at Arco. He's got a new fan.
Yes.
I keep my Mariners hat, but I'm with him.
I can confirm Doug went out and bought a Sam Long jersey yesterday. He's going to wear it today on the show. I can't actually.
Doug doesn't buy anything. They gave him one.
Once again, thank you to Sammy Long from the San Francisco Giants. Thanks to Jason and Doug for letting us poach that interview. If you want to hear it again, didn't hear it in full, you can do that at khtk.com. But right now, we've got tickets, Matthew George, to your favorite band, Kiss.
My favorite.
Yes.
I'm taking the tickets myself, so don't even bother calling.
The End of the Road World Tour. That's right. Kiss, at 107 years old, is touring for the last time, and they're in the Toyota Amphitheater. September 12th.
Their encore is going to be them turning to dust like Avengers Endgame. Just one final stroke of the guitar and into the wind they go.
And if you'd like to see Kiss turn into dust, call her 5 right now, 1-800-920-1140. We'll get you a pair of tickets to that show, and we got to take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Still a lot to get to, including a U.S. Open update, once in a blue moon, and I can confirm at some point before the end of the show, the Disneyland Eeyore himself, Carmichael Dave, will be joining us to share his experience in that super long line.
Great.
I know you're thrilled. You look thrilled. We got all that coming up. Last half hour of the show coming up next.
Got something to say? Text the show at 916-339-1140.
The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Oh, guess who just got in the chat? It's Carmichael Dave. He can't help himself but participate, because he's Carmichael Dave. He's in line at Disneyland board, because he's Carmichael Dave. That's all I got. That's all I got for you, folks. No, but you can let the Spin Doctors, I think that's the Spin Doctors, go. I won't sing anymore, I promise. We're having fun. It's Friday. Put a smile on your face.
That was the fade out. That wasn't me.
I wanted to keep going. Created the rejoiner. I know when the fade out is.
Well, I created the rejoiner.
Yes, ooh, I'm Jay. I'm
a producer.
Whatever. Producer in the history of the world. Anywho. U.S. Open update. I don't know how to transition out of that, so let's just get to golf. Coverage brought to you by Safe Credit Union. Let us put you first. And by the Roseville Meat Company, your modern-day old-fashioned meat market. You ever been to the Roseville Meat Market?
I actually have, and it's really good. Really good.
It's the best. Simply the best. I said it yesterday. If you like fajitas, their skirt steak, best you'll ever get for fajitas.
I'm a big fan of their bacon, and also what did I get the last time? Brisket?
Very good. Brisket.
Very good.
Brisket's so good.
I mean, I just get the meat and I'm learning to I barbecue good pulled pork and just burgers and hot dogs, like the basic stuff. I'm learning from my father-in-law how to do like a good brisket and expanding my horizons with actual like culinary barbecue, you know?
Yeah.
Like in-depth stuff.
You think Brooks Koepka did the same thing?
Brooks Koepka doesn't make his own food.
Brooks Koepka makes birdies, though.
Ooh. Brooks Koepka, a great look at birdie and 4 under par. Wipes the face of that putter, strokes that ball. Rolling up to the cup, hold your line, it did!
Right over the front door, Brooks Koepka, 4 under par.
I'm sorry, you brought it up earlier. You're right. This is like the best call in golf. Let's hear that one more time.
Brooks Koepka, a great look at birdie and 4 under par. Wipes the face of that putter, strokes that ball. Rolling up to the cup, hold your line. It did. Right over the front door, Brooks Koepka, 4 under par.
Right over the front door, Brooks Koepka to the par.
It's the gumption to which to stroke that ball. He meant that.
I appreciate the analogy of a golf hole having a front door, though. I do appreciate that. I appreciate it.
Koepka, he was the early leader yesterday. How did Phil Mickelson fare, you ask?
Just 6 feet, 4 birdie, a tip to the cap, and I think you know that birdie went down, and a thumbs up from Phil Mickelson, his first birdie for the 2021 U.S. Open. Phil Mickelson, 2 over par now, and he's headed to the par 5 18.
Finished 3 or 4 over? I think 3 over par yesterday.
I think it was 4 over.
4 over?
Have you seen Phil Mickelson's putter?
Yes.
It looks like a bent fork.
Dude, is it not the greatest, like,
no,
weirdest looking thing? You wouldn't play with Phil Mickelson putter?
Absolutely not. I would be afraid to miss the ball. Things made out of twine.
Mickelson, a +4. Russell Henley, can't relate.
Putter down behind the ball, strokes it to the hole, and it's in. Russell Henley posts 4 under par and
crickets.
Leads the U.S. Open all by himself here in the midway mark of the first day.
It wouldn't have been crickets had he had this guy on the call.
Brooks Koepka, a great look at birdie and 4 under par. Wipes the face of that putter, strokes that ball. Rolling up to the cup, hold your line, it did. Right over the front door, Brooks Koepka, 4 under par.
So hold on, right over the front door?
Yeah. Duh.
Not through it?
No.
Or
how could you go through a front door?
Into the front? Why? But if you're, but there's a wall above the front door, unless you don't have trim, and there's a big hole there. So is it just a door by itself? Like, are we talking about, like, if you're going through Home Depot or Lowe's and you're buying a door and it's just standing there on its own? In that case, you could go over it. So maybe that segment was brought to you by Home Depot.
And maybe it's time to get to Once in a Blue Moon. I think that's a really good idea, and I'm going to make that executive decision.
I mean,
Once in a blue moon.
Beer. Once in a blue moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Not here for your door analysis.
See, because you go through it, though, because
yeah,
it's a frame
it.
And it swings
right.
On a hinge. You don't go over it. It's not like a Lambo door.
Rick
even
Carlisle's 836 career wins are third most among active coaches and 15th all time. The only head coaches with more wins than the Rick is the Doc. Rivers, that is. He has 992. And, of course, I'm guessing you can guess number one.
Greg Popovich.
1,310. Not the only Rick Carlisle stat we are going to share with you. If you're just joining us or you were living under a rock yesterday, Rick Carlisle resigned from his post.
Could you say he walked out over the door?
Nope, but you can say this. Carlisle had been with the Mavericks since 2008-2009 season, tied for the second longest active tenured head coach with a single franchise. Who's number one?
Can we confirm the Mavericks have a door?
They do. Who's number one?
Greg
Popovich. Carlisle also won a franchise record 555 games as Mavericks head coach, including the team's lone championship in 2011.
But seriously, you go through
it. We're done with the door, bro.
I want to figure it out.
No. You're not going to figure it out. Let the call be what the call is.
I just want to know.
Let super excited golf Brooks Koepka guy make his call and talk about stroking the ball and leave it be.
I want to know if he meant it or if it was an accident. Because if he meant it, I think it's more powerful.
Oh, he meant it.
I just want to know how.
Sure meant it.
I just want to know how doors work in his house.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's some things in life we will never find out. That answer.
Maybe it's like a door of a baby gate.
Matt, it's done. Like, the door conversation was over before the Once in a Blue Moon sounder hit.
No.
It's going to be over once in a blue moon. Okay, I'm going to make an executive decision here because next segment we're going to have Disneyland Dave on, which means we probably won't get to the crossover. So I'm going to vamp while you pull the crossover intro down into this segment and pull up the crossover. Actually, I can pull up the crossover while you get the intro ready. I want to do that now.
Oh,
because
okay.
Something tells me, I don't know if you know this about Disney. Dave, talk a little bit.
Don't.
And I want to make sure we have a full Disneyland update segment and hear how happy he is.
Do not ruin Disney by attaching Dave's name to it.
I know, that's an enhancement of Disney. Listen, when that man is walking around your park with Mickey Mouse ears, it's
you
good
think,
for the brand.
Hold on. You think Carmichael Dave is an enhancement for Walt Disney?
I think Disney Dave is an enhancement for Walt Disney.
Oh, God.
I think Disney Dave is a great band ambassador for the mouse.
Their stock just freaking plummeted.
Well, that happens anytime he gets involved with stocks. That's kind of a well-established thing. You got that intro ready?
Good point.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
DC.
Yes, sir.
You know, crossover time here. Sometimes the crossover comes from you or from me. Or it's kind of a joint.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
one came from the other room.
Yeah, it did. This is a big time question right here. Currency involved in this one.
Yeah, they were talking money.
Money. Big spender.
And the question they have, we are now passing on to you, Jay Mars, and to you, Matt George. The most irrelevant... bill of currency. Take the $2 bill out because that's very unique.
We got that. Yeah. We got that. But you got 1, 5, 10, 20, uh-huh. 50,
whoa.
100, and if you guys are $500,000 bills. Okay,
wait,
let's put those.
Those exist?
I believe so. Let's put those aside. Give them the list again.
So 1.
Okay.
5.
Yep.
10.
Yep.
20.
Yep.
50.
Yeah.
100.
Yeah. Which one of those is the most irrelevant to you gentlemen?
I don't carry cash, first and foremost.
Oh, I'm mad I don't carry cash.
No, I don't, because I'll forget it's there and then lose it. And I lose my wallet more than anything else. I'd say 50. Like, a $50 bill is pretty irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like, 10 is close, but I think it's 50.
No,
because
it's 50.
You go from 20s, like, if at an ATM to 100, right? Can you get an 100 out of an ATM?
20s.
No. It's just 20s. See, I don't carry cash. I don't know about it.
It's 50. 50 is the correct answer. Let me tell you why. You can use a $100 bill for a lot of things. Have you ever carried a $50 bill? Ever?
Yes, I have.
Why?
I don't know. I probably got it as change.
I can honestly, someone gave you a $50 bill as change?
Probably. I probably used like $100 to pay for like something that was 30 bucks, and they gave me a 50 and a 20, and that's.
That would be the correct.
10 more?
No, you're.
No, that was 70.
Really bad. No, it's a $50 bill. I can honestly say I don't think I've ever used a $50 bill. I've used a 1, a 5, a 10, a 20, and a $100.
I've never paid with a 50. I've had one, and then I deposited it into my bank because carrying cash is dumb.
And I've never had anyone change me back a $50 bill. Hmm. Like, if you were to ditch the $50 bill, I think that would be fine. Here's a better question. Let's say you ditch the 50. What would you replace it with? A $500 bill? Do they already have that?
I don't know. I've never
seen
one.
I don't carry cash.
I'd never have one. Let's be weird. Like, give me like a $7 bill that's really difficult to use. Like, increments of 7.
Why would anyone do that?
Why not?
No, I was asking for a logical answer, not a dumb answer.
7, like, do you know how many things cost 7 bucks?
Matt, nobody's going to carry a $7 bill ever. Like, why would you do that?
So,
okay, give me 5 things off the top of your head that cost $7. Go.
So is it through
exactly.
the door or is it open?
Exactly. There is nothing that costs exactly $7 that you could tell me right now.
I want whoever's listening who's going to the store today.
No, I'll forget them.
I want you to, if you find anything that costs $6.99, I need you to tweet it at me and at JMars. I'm curious. What costs $6.99?
I mean, I get it. There's stuff that costs $6.99 or $7. That's not my point. What I'm saying is, like, what off the top of your head costs $7?
Also, side note, when did a...
The answer's nothing,
when did Dollar Tree become more than a dollar for everything?
I don't know.
Because that's something that I've noticed recently. Sorry.
Really, you've been paying... Okay.
Dollar Tree's a great place to go for movie snacks.
I would like to thank Jason and Doug on twofold. Number one, thank you for providing that great interview you did yesterday with Sammy Long.
Also,
thank you for providing a question that has just completely derailed this show.
Why didn't they ask about Lord of the Rings?
This show has been on track for 2 hours and 38 minutes until that happened.
I think it was the door thing, personally.
You know what your punishment is?
What?
You get to find another winner on the hotlines. 1-800-920-1140.
Are we giving away the whole freaking concert?
We are giving away all of the concert. Check out Kiss.
Was nobody buying them?
Kiss fans.
What, like $2?
It's your last chance to
I
see
them. I bet they're $7.
I hate you. It's going down September 12th, 2021. That's this year, by the way. Toyota Amphitheater, the end of the road world tour. Kiss fans, get that phone ready. 1-800-920-1140. No, I went into a really bad Jim Rome impression. We'll take a break because, boy, do we need it.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, it's the moment of the show I've been waiting for. The end. With a very special guest live from the wonderful city of Anaheim, California. Almost inside the wonder that is Disneyland. Disney Dave joins us next on his, on his own show. He's a guest on his own show. That's kind of weird. We'll do it next.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh.
It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by
Doors.
Go ahead.
No, it's you.
No.
Yeah, it's you.
I'm not taking that one.
Doors. You can go through them.
I'm passing that one back.
You can go over them. You can go under them. Depending upon if you have a sledgehammer or not.
All right, so lots on tap today. The U.S. Open Day 2. Coverage beginning shortly on that. Who is going to be $12.5 million richer?
A door separates you from what's next in life. Whether it's the next room.
Or it could separate you from $12.5 million.
You know how many doors you could buy with that?
A lot of doors.
Really nice doors,
Couldn't
too.
Buy the doors, though, because Jim Morrison's dead. Fact.
Wow.
Also, baseball happening tonight, 6:45. The San Francisco Giants taking on the Philadelphia Phillies.
That took a turn.
From the friendly confines. I mean, I guess that's reserved for the Cubs. From the place with really good crab sandwiches, Oracle Park. Also today, your Oakland A's start a 3-game series against the hated New York Yankees. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Early start. Right here on the Sporty 1140 KHDK. And, of course, NBA doubleheader happening tonight, 7:30. The Hawks look to close out the Sixers live from Atlanta. And then at 7 o'clock, Matt's Utah Jazz looking to even
those
things up with the LA Clippers.
Those are my Utah Jazz.
Big Jazz fan, Matt George.
Big Jazz guy. I'm just a Jazz connoisseur.
Isn't your boss in your other job the play-by-play guy for the Jazz?
He is.
So aren't you kind of a Jazz guy?
No.
No? Okay.
Although I do work stats with the Jazz every time they come to town, and it's very interesting to get their perspective on what the Kings do.
Let me guess, the perspective is not a positive one, and we can leave it at that?
Working with opposing radio teams in Sacramento is actually really, really fun because you hear what a different broadcast sounds like, and on top of that, you hear their perspective, and a lot of times it's either vaguely misinformed or severely misinformed, but they still...
Or spot on.
No, but a lot of times they just... you can tell where they got their narrative from. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting way... Like, if you have League Pass and you have the ability to listen to opposing broadcasters, usually on radio, not television, it's pretty interesting to hear perspective.
All right. There you have it from a guy who is in-depth in the broadcast game, Matt George. Hey, speaking of in-depth broadcasters... Can you turn the old phone line up for me?
No.
What?
Oh, wow. Did you? How did that just happen?
I don't know.
Dude, I swear I was going to dial your number and I wasn't looking and I hit the hotline and you're like magically there.
That's what happens, dude. How much time do we have?
We have actually about 7 minutes.
Too much time.
Did Matt just... insult Gary Gerald by saying it's a lot of fun to listen to an opposing team's broadcast?
You should have seen him earlier in the show, the absolutely awful things he's been saying about G-Man since
taking
we announced the partnership, you know? I don't know if you saw that yesterday.
Yep.
What?
The partnership, the Kings and KHDK, that Baker timeline?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that was super smooth. Never a doubt. Never a doubt.
Hey, speaking of super smooth, that was the drive down to old Anna Slime.
Oh, boy. Nothing like being in Coalinga when it's 104. Ooh. Everybody say hi.
Hi.
Yeah, see? That's,
wow. That's a yeah. Disney
That's
morning.
An excited Disney family getting ready to brave the park.
We're in line right now to park. So
you're in line to park?
You're paying
for
parking?
Yeah, we're in line to park.
Ugh.
What do you mean paying for parking?
Yeah, it's what you get an Airbnb or you get a...
We did.
Then you Uber to the park.
Well, we got an Airbnb a half hour away. Well, I mean, which is really 2 miles away.
Fair.
Hey, what does an Uber charge 2 miles to Disneyland, like $100?
Seriously, it's ridiculous. And I was hanging outside the Airbnb this morning. One of the neighbors very friendly came up and said, hey, welcome in. You guys, really nice to see you here. The last group that was here, my wife saw a van pull up and a bunch of women get out in bikinis. And nice. She remarked that they had family visiting. And I said, that's not family. They had a party.
Wow.
So,
yeah, they apparently had a party.
Important question. Are you going into Disneyland first or California Adventure first?
Yeah, so we had to do the reservations. I heard you guys talking about it earlier. So we do Disneyland today, and then if we want, we have the option to go over to California Adventure 1, California Adventure Saturday, and then we're scheduled to do Disneyland on Sunday. But as anyone who's done this knows, generally by Sunday, you're like, nah, no, even though it's like $100 a day. That was my wife's phone. To do this, we're just going to drive home because everyone's out ready to kill everybody.
Burnt out by day three?
Oh, dude. Well, Matt, listen.
You realize you're talking to Mickey Mouse himself,
come
right?
On. Day three?
Here's the thing. Not only could you stand 10 Matt Georges together and see a barcode, but you're also 2 months away from being a dad. Congratulations.
Yay.
On the, you know, there. Matt, you'll realize, we'll talk in a few years, friend, when you bring two kids and your significant other to Disneyland.
They're not coming with
you
me.
Stay for Sunday. Oh, yeah.
No,
I'm sure that'll work.
They're staying at home.
By the way, the crossover. Really, honestly, we're getting so much closer to not having cash at all.
Deal.
Like, there's almost no reason to carry cash anymore.
Correct.
Ever.
So...
Ever.
I'm Carmichael Dave. As soon as I get in
the gate into the magical
world of Disneyland, the first thing I'm doing is...
So we've basically mapped it out. So we're going to hit, we're going up and left and back. We're going to hit Pirates. Then we're going to, what's the one you like? The Thunder Mountain?
Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Yeah. Then we're going to hit Star Tour Space Mountain, and then it's a free-for-all. But we have a very specifically designed. We tried to get on the Star Wars ride today at 7 a.m. You have to do the virtual queue online.
Yep.
My wife was on there literally 2 seconds, boom, filled for the day.
Yep.
So,
wow.
You know.
That happens.
I do know this. We will have fun. I'm sure it will be an experience for all. I'm looking forward to more than anything. I will be getting the Delta variant of COVID
nice.
This weekend. So, yeah, thank you. I will be coming back Monday and hugging everyone. So look forward to that. That'll be amazing as I am in a future hotspot for COVID right now.
So for a few things, Dave. First off, going in and then going left first instead of right to Tomorrowland is a good call because there's less crowds going left than right.
Now the analysis of Dave's day begins.
Going to Pirates first is an interesting decision because Pirates is a great ride when it's hot in the middle of the day. And also,
we'll hit it twice.
Good.
We're going to hit it twice.
And also, I know it sucks. It's a Small World is terrible, but when it's hot, It's a Small World is your best friend. Just telling you.
We're going to imagine the Disneyland park as a face. We're going to make a smile from top left to bottom right, and the bottom right of the smile is It's a Small World. We should hit that about one.
So how much were your kids involved in the planning of this route, or was it you and Melissa dictating?
Dad is really taking this as a serious interview.
I love Disneyland, man. I'm all about this.
The kids were involved in absolutely nothing. We didn't even tell them until like a week ago. And I also heard you say earlier, like, why would you possibly go there right now? I bought these tickets in April 28th to be exact. And this was the earliest we could get an opening with the reservations. So it was just praying that they wouldn't reopen before we came down. And I talked to the governor. I asked him if he could keep California closed at least till Monday. He was like, no, people need to work or whatever. So here we are.
With a smile on their face, pulling up to the park.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys – I've tried to listen to most of the show. How high is Sam Amick's chin today when he walks around? And do you think Sam is walking around his house shirtless and kicking doors open and being like, who's the most powerful man in the NBA? And his wife just rolls her eyes.
I was just going to say, when you literally run the league from your phone and your laptop the way Sam does, you can pretty much do anything at this point, right?
What a flex.
Does anybody know if he wrote something about Kemba Walker leaving Boston yesterday too? Because that's pretty much it now. The league runs on Sam Amos.
I don't think he wrote about it, but I do know he orchestrated the trade.
Yeah, it's nice to be powerful. So, anyways, no cash. Cash is done. By the time our kids are our age, probably earlier, we're all going to either, whether it's a watch, whether it's a chip in our thumb, something, you're just going to beep. You beep and, you know, off your phone, which you already do with Apple Pay and Android, whatever bootleg thing they have, to get into places and pay for stuff. There's no need for why do you want to touch these pieces of paper that have been God knows where and have God knows what on it when you just do a beep off your phone?
Buddy, I couldn't agree more. We got about 20 seconds, so I'm going to have to let you go. Have a fun time. I hope the wait in the park isn't 50 million hours, and get some Mickey ears on, okay?
When you say let me go, you mean fuck, because I'm in contract right now.
Oh, geez.
Or you mean the show.
I mean like this. All right, for Carmichael Dave, for Matt George, my name is Jay Mars. I will be back here on Monday. I don't know if it'll be you or
later,
Dave.
Losers.
I don't know who will be with me. But I can promise you, I can assure you, my lack of talent will be right here for you on Sports 1140 KHDK.